Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled, drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 117, Cancel LeBron James, King Amateur. All right, fans first. A shout out to Jose Nogales in Braceville, Ohio. Met him after one of the shows I did at Hilarity's Comedy Club in Cleveland a few weeks ago. Good to have you on board, sir, and keep throwing them horns. Now, before we get going, just have to comment on my latest air travel experience on United Airlines. You know, the airline that will bring diversity to the piloted skies within the next decade. All right, I have not flown since September 29th of last year when I flew home to move back to my home state of Ohio. Now, despite the virus not being nearly as prolific as it was then, have you heard any death toll numbers lately? No? Oh, CNN stopped posting them? And despite the latest news that 80% of all deaths from COVID were from people that were overweight or obese, and that there's a 1 in 10,000 chance of getting it from touching surfaces, and that the regular flu has dropped from 38 million to under 1,900 over the last 2 years, airlines are still shoving this hoax down your throat. Proof? How's another dose of logic for you? Here are some holes in the contagious COVID theory for you. Number one, I love lists. Once we were already on the plane, they announced that you have to keep your mask on at all times, but, quote, if you don't have one, we can give you one free of charge. Well, how would I have even made it into the airport? Through ticketing, TSA, then the gate. Are people getting on the planes maskless by that point? Sounds serious. Number two, I had a total of 4 flights from Ohio to Utah and back. All 4 were sold out. Maybe 2 empty seats total in 4 flights. Shoulder to shoulder. Touching seat trays. Recliner buttons. Overhead compartment buttons. They served snacks in a bag. Beverages. But no meals because of, quote, safety regulations due to COVID. No, that's called cutting costs. So we can touch everything on the plate, including snacks and drinks. But meals, even for purchase, will kill you. This virus knows the difference between a snack and a meal. Number three, we got on according to group number, 25 to 30 people at a time, I would estimate, standing inches behind each other at the little thing where you scan your boarding pass and going down the jetway, and then, of course, you know, balls to ass in the aisle as you wait your turn for your seat, waiting for people to put their overhead luggage up, etc. But when deplaning, 5 rows at a time, to, quote, support social distancing. Translation. We want and need your money and business, but we're cutting even the most basic things while still charging you full price for airfare, all under the guise of caring about you. Amateur Nation. It's better than nothing. That's all you hear from Amateur Nation. Well, we got to wear masks, but at least now we can go to restaurants. It's better than nothing. At least we can still travel. For now. Without a chip implant or tracking on your phone or other bullshit vaccine monitoring. And the brainwashing, programming, control, and propaganda doesn't end there. On the cocktail napkins that I had to touch, risking life and limb, had this imprinted on them. Quote, mask checklist, colon, chin, comma, mouth, comma, nose. It's better than nothing. Topic number one. We are now heading into new Amateur Nation territory, and that is the professional amateur. Let me explain. I'm a soccer fan. Played 10 years. Had a tryout with a minor league indoor team when I was young. Love watching the World Cup, which in my opinion is the only true world championship. I've watched the U.S. play England in the World Cup in a British pub, surrounded by rabid British fans. The Women's World Cup against China, now there's irony considering those commies are infiltrating the U.S. a little more every day, in 1998, going past triple overtime and into a shootout down to the very last shot, is my top moment in sports for me of all time. As I mentioned in last week's episode, when commenting on United Airlines' desire to be more diverse with pilots in the next decade, while I support diversity, of course, I only do so when the candidate is qualified. And, as I said on my podcast, when quality, qualifications, safety, integrity, skill set, experience, and character are met. I don't care what your background is after all those parameters are met. Now, as I said, this goes for airline pilots, lawyers, and even grocery baggers. Well, you know what? The same goes for my soccer players. This headline from sportbible.com. Megan Rapinoe claims she does not want to earn Lionel Messi's salary amid equal pay battle. Well, guess what? You won't, because it's not a logical fight. If Rapinoe thinks she's even in the same stratosphere as Messi, she's insane. She's not even the Messi of women's soccer. Better than most U.S. men? Probably. But there's just a few problems. Little things like TV audience size, stadium attendance, notoriety, ratings. The article says the 35-year-old captain has been championing the cause and even made it clear that equal pay is on her mind when she pulls on the U.S. national team shirt. Rapinoe has been vocal that future stars of the U.S. women's national team would benefit from their desire to secure equal pay. She even delivered a powerful speech in front of President Joe Biden at the White House. And if anyone knows about women's national soccer team and their plight about salary, it's Joe Biden. Just pausing for the laughs. The country is burning, violence is at an all-time high, the pandemic hoax continues, vaccine propaganda is rampant, the small businessman continues to struggle, but let's get Megan Rapinoe in front of the president to distract the nation and keep appealing to those emotions of amateurs. The article says, speaking ahead of the U.S. team's clash with France on Tuesday, Rapinoe hit out at the idea that she was after a staggering salary like the one that Messi has at Barcelona. The two-time Women's World Cup winner told RMC Sport, quote, "We are just fighting for equality in investments, opportunities, same funds and resources to the team. I am not asking to earn the same salary as Messi, and that is the truth." Rapinoe has recently been criticized by Hope Solo. I don't know if you follow women's soccer, but she was the outstanding goalie for the women's national team way back when. After she claimed that the women's Ballon d'Or winner was part of the team that signed a, quote, "less than equal collective bargaining agreement in 2016. Solo said Megan led the team into signing a less than equal collective bargaining agreement. She said, "We were so close to achieving equal pay in 2016. It was offered to us. We were about to sign the contract with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. But Megan Rapinoe and the leaders of that team signed a less than equal collective bargaining agreement, which is concerning for the overall class action suit and the overall fight. But trust me, we have history on our side, as well as congressmen and women. President Joe Biden is going to fight for equal pay. We believed in him 4 years ago, and we believe in him now." You can't get blood from a stone. You can't force people to watch something or attend something that they don't want to. Here's their logic. Here's the logic of the women's national soccer team. If we make the same money as the men, then people will automatically think it's just as good, and it will add credibility, and they'll watch and attend. But guess what? They won't. Again, I love soccer. I just finished playing on an indoor league just a couple weeks ago. But until the men win the World Cup, soccer simply won't be the TV ratings beast that the other big four, well, were. And those numbers are declining. As sports analyst Colin Cowherd astutely said, in America, all the best young athletes go to football, then basketball and baseball, and some go to hockey. The leftovers go to U.S. soccer. That was me. He's right. Look, I was fast, still am, but way too small for football. Baseball was fun for me in the backyard, but it just moved too slow. I also like playing hoops, but 5'9 ain't exactly NBA bound. Soccer is for the fast, scrappy players who have coordination. Soccer players really play for the love of the game. They have to, because there's very little money in it in America. In America. In South America, the Middle East, Asia, Europe, little kids start playing soccer as soon as they can walk. That's why the best players in the world are not from America. And if the women's national team were to get paid more, where's that money coming from? Ticket sales? When was the last time you heard about women's soccer in your city, in America? TV broadcasting rights? It's simply not there. If they got the insane Big Four sports money, they would be bankrupt in a month and there would be no league. Now, if I'm understanding her correctly, she thinks because the U.S. women's team is so dominant against other teams that they should be paid more. No, it's just that the other women's teams really suck. The U.S. team, don't get me wrong, is good. Make no mistake. But most of the other teams suck. The only teams that are worth a shit in women's competitive soccer, Sweden's good, the Netherlands, China, and Japan. And when I say good, they're still not as good as us. It's not even a fair fight. It's David and Goliath. There are the occasional upsets, but this is why women's soccer has been so dominant. Here's a parallel for you. I love parallels that make my life easier, and I use them a lot in stand-up comedy, as most comedians do. I'd like to think I'm a good comedian. Consistent. Always organized, I'm prompt, I'm funny, I can read a crowd, I play by the rules, whether I have to work clean or anything goes, I stick to my time, I'm prepared, I'm a professional, and have been for 24 plus years. I'm a comedian, Bill Burr is a comedian, we're both professional comedians, why don't I get the same money as him? Oh, okay, well I'm not as funny as him, but I still do the same job and I do get laughs, I'm funny, I follow the guidelines, we've literally played the same comedy clubs. I've sold out shows. He's sold out shows. I've been on TV. He's been on TV. I've even been on the same bill as him on a showcase at the Hollywood Improv. Oh, people aren't willing to pay as much to see me, Lou Santini. Okay. Oh, he's been a regular in Breaking Bad and has had many comedy specials and is more well known. But we're both comedians. And my feelings and my emotions tell me I should make the same money as Bill Burr. Topic number two. I'm sorry, I know I said topic number two, but I gotta say this too. I love drag racing, right? Top Fuel and Funny Car are the pinnacle. That's the biggest money, the most sponsors, the most exposure, the most endorsements. But you also have guys who literally race on the same track on the same day. Joe Blow, you've never heard of him. And he built his car in his garage. And that car still probably cost him $250,000. And instead of 10 major sponsors, he's got 75 or 200 little sponsors. He's still risking his life. Okay, he's not going 335 miles an hour, but he's going 275 miles an hour. Why isn't he getting paid the same money as Steve Torrance in Top Fuel, world champion? Or Robert Height, Funny Car, world champion? Okay, let's do topic number two. Sorry about that. In other bad idea news, the California Supreme Court has ordered judges to free suspects who can't afford to pay cash bail. Don't you hate when criminals just don't have the cash on them? It's not like they're going out of their way to destroy California and thus America. They are destroying California and thus America. Amateurs are of the mindset that it's not the criminal's fault that they are criminals. It's society's fault, in particular, white male society. We're the catch-all for everything wrong in America. This way, with amateurs' virtue signaling and blaming criminal behavior on law-abiding citizens, they can also divert blame from themselves for any shortcomings, faults, deficiencies, financial struggles, joblessness, ill health, or any general feelings of less than or plain old lousiness. Depression, anxiety, sadness, everything is everyone else's fault. If those criminals just had education and a fair shot and a good job at $15 an hour working at an electric charging station manufacturing plant, they wouldn't have committed murder, rape, robbery, assault, and other violent crimes. Because criminals who are willing to rob and kill for a pair of tennis shoes are absolutely willing to work for $15 an hour at a solar plant or a factory that makes electric charging station equipment. The criminals just need that education, the fair shot. They never got the fair shot because of, insert one, their sex, their race, their age, how they identify, where they were born, the weather the day they were born. Pick one. To quote Jim Carrey in Liar Liar,
"Stop breaking the law, asshole!"
Amazing how millions, yes, millions of Americans, and yes, immigrants who are poor, poverty-stricken, lack education, are minorities, etc., somehow manage to get through life all these centuries without committing crimes or asking for a handout or even bitched about, "Someone else did this to me." Funny how they manage to even find happiness and appreciate what they have and continue to work hard in an effort to have more for them and their kids. But let's make suspects' lives easier, shall we? Don't make them pay for bail. They've had it rough enough with being arrested and all. Plus the oppression and the stigma of being labeled criminal. Follow me on Instagram, @LouSantini3, and on Facebook, facebook.com/LouSantiniEntertainment. And you can catch all the previews in case you missed it and other podcast-related information. We'll be right back in about 60.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition.
Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur.
Amateur habitats and history.
Social media plus me, me, me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number 3. Here we go. Found everywhere. Your headline. LeBron James now deleted tweets. Targets officer in Ohio police shooting. : You're next. I say this without hyperbole. That tweet could be one of the dumbest, most destructive, most self-destructive, harmful, ignorant, reckless, shameful, hate-filled statements made by a pro athlete ever. The article says, as the jury was deliberating Tuesday, the fate of ex-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, another police-involved shooting was taking place in Columbus, Ohio. Body camera footage showed the shooting victim, 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant, charging at another female armed with what appears to be a knife. A big fucking knife. And she wasn't charging. Try inches from inserting that knife into her assailant's jugular. An officer shot Bryant 4 times before she collapsed to the ground. She died at the hospital after being taken there in critical condition. Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James reacted to the news on Twitter because, as a professional athlete or someone in Hollywood, you have to react. You can't just go about your life. Everything affects you, and you affect everything, Hollywood and pro athletes. It's your duty. He reacted to the news on Twitter in a now-deleted tweet by sharing an image of the officer involved in the fatal shooting of Bryant and wrote, "You're next," in caps, while hashtagging accountability in caps. Funny how Jack Dorsey didn't ban him for instigating violence and, quite frankly, making a criminal threat. LeBron removed the tweet pretty quickly, but instead of apologizing, which would have at least given him a chance for redemption, but his soul is doomed, he doubled down and later posted this. "I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police." Black people is capitalized for some reason. "I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate." Oh, see what they did to him? "This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system, and they always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more accountability," in all caps. Well, folks, you know how much I love me a good list. So here's 10 things wrong with LeBron James's tweet. Number one, I'm gonna nitpick here. No need to capitalize the word black in the phrase black people. Number two, if you're so damn tired of seeing black people being killed by police, stop watching CNN and MSNBC. Watch other networks instead of only watching what fits what you want to hear. Look up some real crime facts. Black on black crime, white on white crime, black on white, white on black, Asian, pick one. Cops shooting other races, both armed and unarmed. You know, actual circumstances surrounding various shootings. Since no two shootings and no crimes, no two incidences are the same. Number three, you took the tweet down because someone in your camp said, "What the hell are you doing?" If you really believed in your nonsense, you would have been a man and stood by your tweet and left it there. Don't do a hit and run, you coward. Number four, actually, it is about one officer because you made it about him. You proclaimed a vendetta and a threat against that officer. Own that shit. Number five, it's not about the entire system. Nice try with that distraction. And if so, oh smart one, what is your plan? Let's hear it, Haas. Your solutions were all ears since you're an expert in law enforcement now. Number six, LeBron James lives in a predominantly white neighborhood and hasn't had to deal with anything remotely oppressive since he graduated high school, and that's the fact, Jack. See also Lewis Hamilton of F1 fame that I mentioned a couple weeks ago on this show. What's more, if LeBron's mansion was broken into, who you gonna call? If his family was being held at knife point or about to be ended, I'm thinking he'd hope someone, anyone, including a white cop, would shoot that motherfucking attacker. Number seven, they always use our words to create more racism. Subpoint, you can't create racism. Certainly not with words, idiot. If that's how you think racism is created, or anything for that matter, just by merely saying things, you're beyond hope. Nice spin move, amateur. But by going with your logic, you and all the other amateurs use your own words to create the conflict, division, and racism. That's the way it's always been. You, LeBron James, and the rest of them are the racists. And maybe if your words weren't so inflammatory, so full of emotion and feelings, and instead conveying facts and calm, and maybe if the criminals had any kind of impulse control, and maybe if the criminals in this country of all races had better parenting and didn't spend every second on social media and modeling themselves after selfish athletes and Hollywood types who are in the 1% of the world, thinking that they're entitled to obscene riches and power without any consequences, well then maybe these kinds of attacks wouldn't happen. Number eight. Oh, you want accountability? Look in the mirror, amateur. Your words and actions have consequences. You be accountable. Be a man. Face criticism. Lose sponsors. Lose your fucking job. Still standing by your statement? No one talks about accountability when it comes to making dumb decisions like, oh, committing any random act of violence. Attacking someone in front of a cop. Continuing violence once the police arrive. Accountability is needed by everyone. And when everyone is accountable and thinks first, they don't have to worry about the cops even showing up, let alone being shot by them. Number nine, if China and Nike weren't paying you, what would you be saying? Remember when you liked America, LeBron, in that it gave you the career that you have? Speaking directly to you, LeBron, make no mistake, America gave you your career. China didn't do it. Nike didn't do it. America did that. No one does pro sports better than America. An American scouted you. An American managed and represented you. An American does your accounting. The NBA, an American organization, gave you the ball. Some Americans even work for Nike and in all the commercials you've been in. Don't think you'd be this successful in the European leagues. Oh, and I almost forgot about the most important Americans in your life of all. The fans. Remember them? No, you won't please them all of the time, and no, you don't even have to be liked. But a little fucking gratitude and respect for the men who escort you on and off the court every game, huh? I bet if a psycho fan with a chip on his shoulder charged out of the bleachers with a butcher knife, you'd want a cop to shoot your assailant. But having displayed your character, I can see your comment on Twitter now. You would mention the race of the attacker, of course. If he was white, that's easy. If he was black, somehow white oppression made him do it. If a white cop shot him, you'd ask, why did a white cop have to shoot him? You'd complain if a black cop had to shoot him. But I'm guessing you'd say anything except this. I want to give heartfelt thanks to the cop that saved my life, and I owe them a debt of gratitude to him or her and all the police who surround me in these stadiums who protect me even when I throw them under the bus. And number 10, where was all this outrage during the first 16 NBA seasons that you played? This officer saved that girl's life, period. This is Cop 101. This is what we law-abiding citizens envision police having to do at some time in their career. It is literally making the cop holding the gun have to answer the question in a split second, would you be able to pull the trigger to kill someone that is trying to take another life in order to save that victim's life? Now, I ask you that. Think about it for a second. You, the person driving in the car listening to this podcast, listening at home, wherever. Would you be able to pull the trigger and kill someone that you did not know, by the way? You're not getting the luxury of, oh, is it my family member, my husband, my wife, my kid? No, no, no. This is a random stranger. Let's say you're a cop. And you roll up on a situation and you see someone who has got that arm cocked back with a big psycho type movie knife ready to jam it in the neck of someone who is cowering, ready to be murdered in seconds. Can you pull the trigger? No, no, no. You're in your car. You're at home. You got time to think about, man, I don't know if I could do that. You got all the luxury in the world to think about that. Now, instead of pondering that for days after some in-depth discussion, now do it when it happens in the blink of an eye, where if you hesitate, the victim's going to die for sure, a painful, bloody, agonizing, slow death, and then you'll also have to shoot the assailant anyway, making that two dead people. In rare and now not-so-rare occasions, this is what we all would want if someone was charging at us with a knife inches from our neck. That was a legit shooting. Also in the video, a male kicking the head of a female who was already on the ground. When the cops roll up, it used to be, all right, everyone be cool, everyone at attention. If you were brawling, you stopped. Not these emboldened amateurs. No sympathy. None. Law-abiding America is fed up. What did Micaiah Bryant think would happen? She saw the cop roll up. She didn't see. This wasn't in the dark. He didn't sneak up behind her. Lou, she's just a kid. She's 16. I knew not to stab someone in the throat at 16, also at age 5. Lou, she was in a fight. She was defending herself. Nice try. Watch the tape again. The person with the knife doesn't need to do anything to the person without a weapon. You've already won as soon as you show that weapon.
Well, it's still a tragedy.
Is it? I'll let bittersweet slide. A teen's death happened, but another one was spared. The officer should have assessed and waited for the scene to unfold. Yeah, well, then you might have more than one dead teen, and a white officer blamed for doing nothing. He just let it happen. Dereliction of duty comes to mind. And you're just assuming those are the only two people that might have gotten killed had the cop done nothing. I posted this simple statement on Instagram and Facebook. Here it is. LeBron, colon, your mother should be ashamed of you. And while easily 99% of the comments to the post on my Instagram, at LucyAntini3, and Facebook page were in agreement, not that I need to be agreed with because I'd love to hear a logical reason for that kind of stupidity, my favorite reply was this dismissive acceptance, and I quote, nobody's perfect. Are you fucking kidding me? Oopsie is your response? Whoops, nobody's perfect. I pulled out a knife and almost murdered someone. Someone actually replied to me with, well, you wouldn't say that to LeBron's face. Why wouldn't I? I'm not trying to fight LeBron James, of course. What's he gonna do, hit me? He's that mentally and emotionally fragile? Actually, yes, maybe he would. And I'd take half of his shit. But stand by your words, big man. I guess we can use nobody's perfect then for Derek Chauvin, George Floyd, and I don't know, every person on the planet. I will concede that everyone does indeed open their yap without thinking. in the heat of the moment and has said things they regret and things they wish they could take back. But LeBron's tweet is not one of those times. This was a conscious effort to stir the pot and get that precious attention. When you go to your phone, log on to Twitter, and use all caps to make a threat, not a comment, a threat. It's not a point, a threat. You've crossed into criminal territory. If I went on Twitter and physically threatened LeBron James in response to his threat against that cop, who should sue him, by the way, I'd be under arrest. LeBron James, here's a man who at some point, he was just a small little boy, living in Akron, Ohio. That's 15 minutes from me, not even. Who was blessed to have superhuman basketball skills and a genetic, godlike body. His character began to show when he not only left his home state to go play in Miami, not because he left, that's his right, but he did it in a way that was showy, craved attention, it was a slap to the face of Ohioans. That was our first tip. Then after he went off to win a couple titles with the Miami Heat, he was kind enough to throw Ohio a bone and give us a title of our own. Now, I certainly won't take anything away from his physical accomplishments. Multiple titles over many teams, countless trips to the finals, so many extra playoff games played, landmark scoring titles and stats. But as in all things in life, if you're a dick while you did it, well, LeBron, you have to live with yourself. Yeah, he'll continue to get endorsements. America rewards amateur behavior. And he's going to make money into perpetuity. His great-grandkids won't have to work. But here's the thing. Now he has crossed into evil villain territory. He's simply now a bad person. He's just a bad person. As I've said, bad people can indeed do nice things. Nice people can indeed do bad things. But overall, considering his body of work in regards to lack of character, LeBron James is now indeed a bad person. Just like Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jack Dorsey. People who seemed quiet, hardworking, driven, and honest now show their outright contempt for anyone who is simply not them. As I mentioned in my book and on this podcast, the amateur equation is this. Stupid plus obnoxious times rude divided by entitled plus inconsiderate equals amateur. You only need two to qualify to be an amateur. The more factors you have, the higher degree of amateur. Congratulations, LeBron, with those two words, you're next. You accomplished all five. You've created a new category, professional amateur. You're a professional athlete, but you are an amateur in every sense of the word. Hell, I'd add criminal to that list of factors. Last time I checked, threatening anyone, let alone a police officer on social media, was a crime. LeBron is an embarrassing, uneducated, ignorant, reckless, shameful, hateful, unappreciative, entitled, out-of-touch, unenlightened amateur who continues to ruin his legacy. And yet, you can absolutely count on LeBron James running for political office sometime soon. Because in his mind, basketball skill and the fact that he's almost a billionaire somehow means I must be smart. And that his opinions and beliefs matter more than the rest of us. The reality is, he's still just a dumb kid from Akron who clearly hasn't learned anything but basketball all these years. Oh, one last thing, kind of important. Do you know how many lives cops save each day in the United States, each year? Do you know how many motherfuckers deserve to get shot but don't? Time now for Off Topic. There's just a few things that didn't quite make the cut for the topics on the show. Here we go. You know, words don't hurt me, and I'm certainly a friend of slang. However, if you describe yourself as a grown-ass man or a grown-ass woman, you're not. So when I flew last week, since United didn't want to kill us with deadly meals laced with COVID, they did throw us a bone, a bag of pretzels, and that inedible, what they call a cookie, and I use that term loosely, Stroop waffle. A Stroop waffle is a wafer cookie made from two thin pieces of cardboard of baked dough joined by brick mortar, also known as caramel filling, and tastes like the asshole out of a dead skunk. For the love of all things holy, airlines, please stop passing off this inedible doorstop as food. All of the world of snacks, and you give us the one thing no one eats in real life. Hey, can I get you something? Some water? You want a beer? How about some Stroop waffle? More like shit awful. Stop it. These amateur virtue signalers who are saying that they got the shot because they, quote, care about humanity. They care. Not one of them got the shot for that reason. They got it because they're afraid of catching the coronavirus. That's it. Hey, I heard you got a hysterectomy. Yeah, I did it for mankind. If you're doing anything medical at all, it is for yourself. Other than donating an organ like a kidney or your eyes or whatever, if you're doing anything medical at all, it is for yourself. Don't shit on my cupcake and call it frosting. Between election fraud, soulless behavior from our current administration, vaccine and mask mandates, instigating riots, allowing riots and looting, censoring, canceling, virtue signaling, martyrdom, and all the other treasonous, subversive activities done by the amateurs since March of last year, here's a conversation I picture taking place between two people in the federal government. You know what? America's really hurting. They're pretty beaten down. They need something good to happen. We should probably give them a breather. Hit him again. What a shameful, corrupt, inept display and outright immorality with blatant pandering, scheming, rude, laughable, criminal plans and having outright disdain for law-abiding America while pandering to the dumbest and least mature with no conscience and all emotion. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You know who you are, but enjoy it while it lasts. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Unholy by Kiss. Yeah, I know it's an older hard rock song. Admittedly, while I absolutely respect Kiss for their massive contribution to hard rock and heavy metal, I wouldn't say I'm exactly a member of the Kiss Army, but this is from 1992 from their album Revenge. Unholy is considered one of the heaviest songs in the band's catalog, and for me, this is what I always pictured Kiss sounding like when I was real little and they were scary and in makeup. You know, the mix is good. It's rich, full sound. It's well mixed. It's anthemic. It popped up during my shuffle on my playlist while I was at the gym. And give it a listen. Unholy by Kiss. Number two. Three cheers for the small businessman. Here's your headline from various news outlets. Ohio bar owner refuses to show NBA games until LeBron James is expelled. Here's the article. An Ohio bar owner has added to the now-deleted LeBron James tweet firestorm, saying he would not show any more NBA games, not just Laker games, no NBA games at all, at his establishment due to the basketball player's online sentiments. Pub owner Jay Linneman said on Facebook of his Delhi Township bar, called Linny's Pub, "If anyone wants to watch an NBA game, don't come here. We will not air them until LeBron James has been expelled from the NBA. The article goes on to say, Akron's own James took to Twitter earlier this week following the police-involved shooting in Columbus that left 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant dead. The now-gone tweet showed a photo of the officer involved in the shooting with a statement that said, "You're next, hashtag accountability." Now, my question to my audience is, will it make a difference? Does LeBron care? My guess is no on both counts. On the surface, that is. But character counts. That, my friends, is accountability. That is a bar I will absolutely go to if I'm in the area. Linny's Pub in Southern Ohio. Number three. It's a book on Amazon. It's called The Trans Am Diaries, A Hillbilly's Road Trip from Stand-Up Comedy to Cancer and Back Again. This book is written by a friend and fellow comedian Stevie D, a.k.a. Stephen Dupin. I'm very lucky to never have had cancer, but I've read enough magazine articles and books about people going through it to know this book is not like the other books and articles I've read about people battling cancer. First and foremost, what stands out is there's not a lot of New Age sage advice with proverbs and platitudes, quotes, and affirmations to fill the page. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for that kind of positivity and positive reinforcement, especially when going through a life-altering event like cancer. And I've had my share of life-altering events via other physical, mental, professional, and emotional trauma, as most of us have. This is not a pity party. I am not playing the victim, nor is Stevie D. But this book is through the eyes of a small-town Kentucky boy dealing with a life-changing event in the biggest and what can sometimes be the loneliest city in the world, Los Angeles. I've always admired people with a work ethic, and admittedly, I didn't get to know Stevie D as well as I should have when I lived there. We'd been on the same bill of comedy shows more than once, and his show at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood was one of the last ones I did before I moved back to my home state of Ohio. So if you or someone you know is going through cancer, this straightforward look at what goes through your mind, all the vulnerability you'll deal with, the stress of simply scheduling appointments. I get frustrated scheduling appointments for just basic medical issues. I can imagine what it has to be like. He mentions this several times in his book, just being on the phone and on hold and answering the same questions over and over again. And it rung true to me going back to some of my physical issues I had in my past. Let me backtrack a little bit here. So it's a straightforward look at the vulnerability that you would deal with if you were going through cancer while keeping a positive attitude and learning to lean on those closest to you, thereby easing the stress and taking you from diagnosis to recovery. This is the journey that he takes you on in his book. Here's the synopsis on Amazon. By the way, it's a Hollywood Book Festival honorable mention. Stevie D thought he had made it. After leaving his small-town Kentucky home for the bright lights of Hollywood, this self-described white trash hillbilly rose through the stand-up comedy ranks to become a star on the Sunset Strip. Since the release of his successful concert film DVD, Rockstars of Comedy, Stevie began developing projects with rock legend Tommy Lee, UFC champion Rich Franklin, Hot Rod Builder of the Year Troy Ladd, and other celebrities. With a beautiful wife, he was also enjoying the greatest adventure of his life, fatherhood. Then Stevie received the stunning news that his life might be actually nearing an end when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer at the young age of 42. A powerful story of survival, the Trans Am Diaries is a stream of consciousness direct from Stevie D's pen and is also a full of laugh-out-loud stories about the entertainment industry and the colorful characters Stevie has met along the way, including golfing with Eddie Van Halen and opening for Chris Rock on 60 Minutes. One more time, the book is called The Trans Am Diaries, A Hillbilly's Road Trip from Stand-Up Comedy to Cancer and Back Again. All right, well, if I don't get canceled after today's episode, if you have a topic or you read or saw something or something happened to you that was amateur-related, or if you have a comment about this show or any of the other ones in the past, you got criticism, or how about this? You're an advertiser who has some balls and wants to reach people who have common sense. Email me, lou@lousantini.com, and download my book from Amazon. Subscribe to my YouTube page and hear the show on 16 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. We'll see you next week.